Good evening. I'm Livingston Weiler, and this is One Man, One Camera, Three Eyes. I'm a filmmaker. I make what is known as horror movies, fantastical films having to do with the undoing, as Stephen King said, the undoing of all that is good, and that is evil. As a filmmaker, my training is not that formal. I did 2 years of film school in Central Florida, the University of Central Florida, and then realized with the greatest of respect to my teachers and my comrades, fellow students at the University of Central Florida, that I was in the wrong city to be probably studying films and certainly making films. Although Orlando is a small entertainment concern, I needed something bigger. I looked in the mirror every morning and I saw myself, Livingston Weiler. I was 19, 20 years of age. And someone said, why don't you go on to 4-year? And I said, sure. No, I'm not going to go to a 4-year university, get my degree in film, and then do what? Margarine commercials? I was joking with him. And it was a very, very dear friend of mine. And we shook hands. It was big, big misunderstanding. But it turned into a fist fight that night when he said to me, why don't you go and get a 4-year film school education? And I said, do I look like some guy that does butter commercials? And then I jokingly took a imaginary bar of imaginary cube of butter and sort of ran it up and down my backside as if to say, maybe you like to lube up that way, but I don't. It was very, very crude. I deserved everything. I took a pretty serious beating that night from him, and I was left there in the apartment while he took off back to New York City, and I was supposed to clear out that night, but instead I woke from the severe beating in the morning at about 5 a.m., blood all over the carpeting, and I was supposed to have moved out. There was someone else moving in that day, so I went to the store. You don't want to hear any of this, but I went to the store, I got a carpet cleaner, and I didn't clean anything up. I just kind of smushed the blood around in the carpeting, and we took off. The police contacted me several weeks later. Everything worked out fine. They talked to Tim Hutzik, who was the guy that was my roommate and beat me up, which, by the way, was a sucker punch, Tim, as you know. Had I not been tagged very forcefully by you, I think the fight would, Tim's buried now and has 3 kids. Let me just say this. I don't think that storyline would have played out in your life. My name is Livingston Weiler, and I'm telling you a lot of these things because I want you to get the background. I also want you to hear how much time I wasted and the tragedy of my life. You see, I was born in Apopka, Florida. I was born to Sam and Darlene Weiler. Sam was a drywall hanger. He was a construction worker of many different trades. My mother was a beautician. And we lived, I would say, probably what you would call a lower middle class life in Apopka, Florida, which is a suburb, a northern suburb, outer ring suburb of Orlando, Florida. I went to high school. I went to grade school. The less I talk about it, the better I feel. I'll just tell you this. I went to high school, and then I wanted to get out of there like the next day after I graduated. And did I love my parents? Yes. Did I want to be around them much longer than that? No. As soon as I got out of high school, I said to my mother, I love you. I don't know if I'll ever see you again. And she said, that's okay, son. And she went back to, she was frying my father some bacon, Canadian bacon. He was reading, some corner. He wasn't reading the sports page. I remember he was reading an Elmore Leonard novel. And I never could understand that. But that's all he ever read. So I left. I thumbed out to Los Angeles. I was 20 years of age because I'd already been in the film school in Central Florida. So did I say that I left after high school? I'm sorry. I just left after film school. I didn't want a degree. I wanted nothing more to do with anything having to do with where I was from. It wasn't that I didn't like Florida. It wasn't that I didn't like Central Florida. I just didn't want to be around wherever it was I was. I didn't want to be there. I could have been in heaven. I would have wanted to hitchhike out of there. That was how things... I was a restless soul, you might say, a restless soul. Years later, I asked my father, I said, what was with the Elmore Leonard? And he asked me, he said, was that what I was reading? I said, yes. He thought he was reading Raymond Chandler. And I asked him why, and he said because he liked those movies. And he wanted to be a writer of mystery novels himself. Now, by the time I saw the last time I saw my father, who was 51, 52 years of age, reading that Elmore Leonard novel called Rum Punch, And that was what, there was some movie that was based on that. But anyway, Chinatown or something, I think. But not Chinatown, something. But I said, Dad, I didn't know that you wanted to be a screenwriter. And by then, he wasn't there, and I was staring at a pillow. I'd been dreaming it. I'd been dreaming it, okay? So you see, I segued from, I told you that I was talking to my parents, and I was, but I didn't tell you that I was already in Los Angeles. I told you I started thumbing, and you lost track of my story. I thumbed L.A. Thumb time in the month of June. Did you catch that? I thumbed L.A. thumb time. See, these are the things that you've got to remember as a filmmaker. Always listen, always watch, always keep your eyes open. As Kurosawa said, an artist must never close his eyes. But sometimes we're not listening. We're watching, we're looking, but we're not listening. So when I say I thumbed L.A. thumb time, you see, and see, I just did it again. What is that called? That's called doing something spooky with your voice while your eyes and ears, well, no, while your eyes, because those are your ears, it's also your mouth. So those are the three senses, mouth, ears, eyes, and nose. That's four. Okay. I'm Livingston Weiler. I'm a filmmaker. I live here in Los Angeles, California. And if you must know, okay, I'll tell you, I do have a home in the Hollywood Hills, all right, near a Beechwood Canyon, okay. And I have worked with some terrific, terrific actors whose names I cannot mention, right, Frank John Hughes, okay, there's one. But I don't want to mention Frank, as you know, from Band of Brothers. You know Frank from great The Sopranos, Catch Me If You Can. Very good. Actually, I know him through Phil Hendry. He's not worked for me yet, but I want to get that guy under contract. I want to get that guy in front of a camera where he belongs. And he spends far too much time. If you're an actor and a great actor, be in front of a camera all the time, even if you have to carry one around with you and just be staring into it, because it gives you, you're used to it. You get used to it, see? People say, oh, are you egomaniac? Are you egomaniac? Because when you say, are you an egomaniac, you're asking, is that person something? When you say, are you egomaniac, you're asking, are you that, isn't that your name, egomaniac? See? See what I did? So that's like a superhero, egomaniac. And that can be the name of a film. I start with titles. I don't look at a script. I don't talk to a writer. I don't talk to a producer. I don't get out of bed until I know what the name of the movie is going to be that I'm going to shoot. And that's why many of my films start really with an interesting name. The first horror film I directed was Kitten. That was in 2012. Kitten starred me. And again, I am generally acting in my films. A lot of people ask, how do you direct yourself? The way I direct myself, it's very, very interesting. It's a variation on a sort of a hangover cure. When I get up in the morning and I know that I have to be on set as an actor, I look in the mirror and I have a big pitcher of ice water and I pour it over the top of my head and I keep staring into the mirror for any sign of discomfort. If I see any, then I pour more cold water on my head. I have generally have a large vat of ice water there. And then I tell myself, you're fired today if you don't do a good job. I will fire you. And I'm very literal about that. Now, you'll ask, okay, how do you fire yourself? Very easy. When you're so sick and tired of the rotten performance you've been turning in as an actor, because you're the director of the movie. Now, when you're on set, there's an assistant director handling the action and you know, calling for action, you know, speed, sound, all that. But you are the director. Now, when you are a director and you're acting in your own film, and there have been directors who've been in their own films, Quentin Tarantino, the most recent of them. I just got a message here. This could be my girlfriend. I asked her not to bother me, but boy, she just doesn't. It's not her. It's some other. I'm on a text tree with a bunch of professionals, Hollywood professionals. A lot of them are sound men. Some are writers and some are gaffers. People say, you're a director. Why are you hanging out with guys that are just crew? And I generally will say, well, that's really none of your business. And that's very rude. I hang out with everybody. I'm Livingston Weiler, and this is One Man, One Camera, Three Eyes. And the reason why I say One Man, One Camera, Three Eyes is I am the man. I have the camera. And then the three eyes are my two eyes plus the camera. And sometimes the three eyes are, I have two cameras with me, and I'm only really, effectively have one eye. I'm only looking out of one eye because I've got two cameras. So, you know, I'll walk around with two cameras. And in fact, that was my nickname for a while, Live Two Cameras Wyler. What I want to talk to you about today, though, is my films. Kitten was the film I did in, it was 2012. This was my very first as a director. It was my first horror film. It got a magnificent write-up in Gore magazine. Not Fangoria, this was Gore. Full-on Gore magazine was the name of it. Full-on, FullOnGoar, all right? Because they didn't want to get any copyright problems, and they didn't want to have a hassle with anybody who may have a magazine called Gore magazine. So Full-on Gore magazine rated Kitten as perhaps one of the most frightening films ever seen. In the film Kitten, I have a kitten, and I sneeze. I'm allergic to cat fur. This is a film that you have to see. It was really, really scary. And again, as I say, I can explain to you, because I know that I can sense that there's people out there going, huh? And boy, does that irritate me. My movies are rated very highly among all horror aficionados. And if you don't get it, then maybe you're listening to the wrong podcast. Maybe you're listening to the wrong podcast, because after I do these podcasts, then I get letters and I get phone calls, and then I have to sit there and get into arguments with people who are not fit to scrub, excuse me for saying this, to scrub the ass of... All right. Let's take a break, okay, shall we? Let's do that. And I'm not angry. I'm not. I'm tired. Oh, I'm ever so tired. I'm tired of having to talk to people that don't understand filmmaking. Okay? Filmmaking. People that are not qualified to take a scrub brush and lye soap to the ass crack of my briefs. That's there. I just said it. Will say, your movie, I didn't like it. And I'll say, why? Because it wasn't scary. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. If you don't have the guts to admit that a movie is scaring you, as a lot of people, they don't have the guts. Kitten? You have no idea. And let me go through it again. I have a kitten, and I'm allergic, and I sneeze. See? So this kitten represents literally the coronavirus. Because if you think about it, the kitten is a furry version of the coronavirus minus the slow death and suffocation. But you're still sneezing, your eyes are watering, and you're looking in the mirror. And at one point in Kitten, I have the cat, I'm holding the cat in my left hand, and I look into the mirror, and my eyes are streaming water. I'm sneezing, the snot flying everywhere. The cat is licking its paw, and then has the, you know, and I realize it's a cat, but the cat licks its paw and then licks its ass? You know, am I not, can I say that? Okay, I have a engineer here, Ward Connolly. Do you work for the Phil Hendry Show?
I do not, no.
You're just the engineer?
Yeah.
So, when I was done with Kitten, and it was very draining, it was extremely draining. I had to take several weeks off, but we submitted it to the San Joaquin Film Festival. We submitted the San Francisco Film Festival. We submitted all of the film festivals. It came out in January, February of 2012. And immediately it got buzz. It got a lot of buzz. A lot of people liked it for the wrong reason. They said, I like this movie, but, and I just, after I saw the word but, I just, okay, you guys don't, I don't even want to read it. I'm a director. I go my own way. I can tell you the other film that I did in that year. In 2012, I did another film. It was called Freedom. Now, this one, Freedom sort of forecasted what we're going through right now with coronavirus. Because in Freedom, I'm walking in a parking lot, and I go for a shopping cart that I just saw an old lady sneeze on and slobber all over. And the slobber went all over the handle of the cart. And I want that. I want it. In most films, in a drama, the hero would stay away from it. But ours is a horror film. Ours is a horror film. And the old woman is just slobbering all over it. And the great, great actress by the name of Sally Ketchum played the old lady. And I said, okay, action, Sally, go. And she's just sneezing and slobbering. And she looks up at me at one point and says, is that all you want? And I said, but the camera's still rolling. She goes, oh, I'm sorry, went, turned back. And we got the action that we wanted. And now comes in scene two, I roll, okay, sound, speed, action. And here comes a guy, one of the bus boys or bag boys, or whatever the hell you call him, and he's spraying cleanser all over the handle of this shopping cart that I wanted the freedom, you see? I wanted the freedom to pick out what my what shopping cart I wanted. Now you may say, well, why would you pick out a shopping cart that some old woman just slobbered all over and sneezed and the snot coming out of the nose? And my answer to that, as is my answer to most inquiries, is that's none of your business. You see, Livingston Wyler, and here I go, I'm speaking about myself in the third person, but great artists do that. You know, I don't mean to be arrogant, but great artists do that. Livingston Wyler was making a great film, and the old lady slobbered all over it. Now comes phase two, and we broke for lunch, and I talked to Heath Gurdon, not Ledger, it's very funny. No, Heath Gurdon was the one who was spraying down the carts, and I said, this is going to be the moment that, and he said, say no more, Mr. Wyler, say no more. I said, okay, I'm glad you got it. I don't like to have to talk a lot to my crew, okay? I said, this now, the slobber, he goes, I know. That's all we need. We just exchanged glances, kind of winked at each other. I mean, it was, you know, for Wyler, I don't know what he was, are we talking about the movie, or are you looking to get the, I said to him, I said, are you looking to get the blowjob or something? He goes, what, are you kidding me? And I said, I'm only kidding. I wasn't, but I could see I was getting, he was getting really angry. So we break for lunch. We finish lunch. We go back to set, and now we shoot the scene. And I said, action. Then I ran out to the, and somebody said, you don't have to sit there in the chair and yell action. You know, you can get one of Davey Hurt or some of your ADs, assistant director. I said, I know that, but I really didn't. And I said, okay. So I went, action, and I ran out there, and they go, well, it's pointless yelling action when the when you're not in the scene. I said, I'm going to be in the scene. They go, right, but you're wasting film running out there. I never did understand what they were saying, and so from that day forward, I decided that I would never have an assistant director fill in. I would always be directing from the chair, then I'd run out and do my scene, and then I'd sit back down in the chair and go, that's great, or, you know, and I'd talk to myself. I'd say, Liv, you got to do it better. And then I'd run out there and go, oh, okay. Now people are looking at me as if I've lost what's left of my mind. But there's a method to my madness. Unless I can see myself in that part, and when I see myself, literally, unless I can sit there in that director's chair and look out onto the soundstage and see myself, I can't do an effective job as a director or an actor. So I have to run back and forth and say, okay, action. Then I run out. And I'm saying, I want that cart with the slobber all over it. And then I'll run back to the chair and go, cut. Then I'll run back out and I'll say, was that okay? And then I'll run back and I'll say, yeah, it was fine. Let's go ahead and we'll, you know, print that. Or we don't say print that anymore, but let's move on to the next scene. So that's kind of how it went. Now people are looking at me as if I've lost what little mind I have left. I understand. I get it. But they have to understand me. This is how I work. And we had a guy, Jonathan Tuies, who was, he played in this film, Kitten. He plays the doctor who admits me, because I go mad and I'm admitted to an asylum. And that's the end of the film. And Jonathan said, you know, you're going to lose a lot of weight that doing running back and forth. I said, what's that supposed to mean? He said, no, I'm not saying you're fat. If you were fat. And I still was bothered by that, so I didn't talk to him for the rest of the day. All right, the old lady slobbers. I say, I want that card. I go over. Now comes the actor, the kid who's, he says, I just sprayed that off. He said, let me spray it off again. I said, don't you dare. And my character says, and by the way, my character in the film has no name. He's just no name is what we call him. No one even refers to him as no name. I just put up on the screen, no name. You know, it says Livingston Wyler is in the cast. He plays no name. He said, why don't you let me spray that off? And I said, you come near me, okay, and I'll tear your head clean off. And I was trying to get the Clint Eastwood read on that, right? So I ran back to the director's chair and I go, what's the problem? And I know it sounds stupid, but I'm talking to myself. And I ran back out and I said, I'm trying to get the Clint Eastwood read on blow your head clean off, you know? So somebody had the recording of the film. We broke for another snack. We broke for a snack. And it took a half hour just to get to, you know, like a cheese sandwich or something. And I went back into my trailer and I didn't immediately look at the back of my trailer. There was one of the extras who I have a committed relationship with. She was in there. So we, you know, we took some time for each other. And then we had 5 minutes left in the snack, in that snack break. And I said, all right, let me see this film. And so I looked at it and I forget, you know, by that point she had really, she'd fuck my brains out of my, so I forgot why I was even looking at this film. So I said, you know, get it out of my sight and you get out of here. It was assistant director. So we went back to the set and proceeded to finish the film. And as I was going back and forth, running back and forth, I noticed that people, so I got the cast together, said, look, you're all looking at me like I'm some kind of a freak out of a swamp. And I said, I appreciate if you'd stop doing that. I am a director and an actor. I said to them, I'm an actor slash director. And I kind of leaned back to look at them and surveyed them to see what they thought about that. And they all, you know, they weren't giving me any, a lot of actors will look at you and give you kind of like, they'll stick their tongue out. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. A lot of actors. I worked with Mo Collins, who's a great actress, currently seen on Fear the Walking Dead, a great many things. Mo is from Mad TV. But I worked with her in one of my films. It was Mouse, as a matter of fact. I worked with her on Mouse. And I remember I was looking at the cast, and she was out there. And I said, does anybody have any questions? And I glanced at Mo, and she was like this, just, she was sticking her tongue out at me. And I said, okay, you. And then I realized she had more power in the industry than I did. She said, yeah. And I said, nothing. I just said, you know, that I was practicing a word. And she looked at me like I'd crawled out from underneath some kind of a garbage pit. And, but, you know, so there you have it. I mean, you have to really, in Hollywood, you've got to know. I knew that she had more juice than I did at that point. So who am I to say? Now with this new film that I have out, which is a film that reflects the initial freedom that we did back in 2012, because 2012 was very, what would you call it? It was a movie that we saw into the future. It was prognosticative. And so this prognosticative film gave me the idea to redo this because of the coronavirus, right? And then I had the idea of a rock band starting out with, you know, My Corona. Now, someone told me, yes, there was a group called the Shiningle. I don't know what the name of the group was, but they did My Sharona. Then they did, Steve Dahl did Ayatollah. And I said, yeah. And they said, well, it's not very original of you. And I said, let me tell you something right now. It was some guy, some distributor talking to me. I said, let me tell you something. My name is Livingston Weiler. Everything I do is absolutely original. He goes, yeah, but, and I don't, no. Because when they start with the yeah, but, No, everything I do is original. So I wanted to do another version of Freedom, and this time it would be about the coronavirus. So I wanted to have someone who could hack up a big, who could really hack and cough, this time onto lettuce, and I wanted him to hack up and cough and maybe even a little bit of spittle on some lettuce and some, cabbage and tomatoes and some carrots. In other words, makings for a salad. And walking in, now this film that we are working on now is a film called My Corona. And people are very upset with me. They said, that's so derivative of My Sharona. I said, shut up, shut your mouth. Because when I do it, so what I said to them was, all right, then I won't get My Sharona. I'm going to get Hey Mona by Bo Diddley. And they're like, what's that mean? I said, hey, Corona, whoa, Rona. Yeah? And that's when someone said, why don't you call it Rona? And I said, short for Corona? They go, yeah, that's kind of what we're going for. And I said, well, that's too easy. How about if the guy's girlfriend is named Rona, okay, and her full name, and he goes, Corona? I said, no. Her full name is Barona or Spomona or something like that. So we dance around it. And so in Bonoma, that's it, we wanted to work in the word boner, and it came out Bonaroma, yeah. And the reason why we wanted to let people know there was love in this story, it wasn't just an old man with snot flying all over cabbage and lettuce, but there's love. The young man who comes to buy a salad for the woman he loves, and he buys all the salad fixings, and he washes everything off, and he gets the salad, and Barona comes in, his girlfriend, and she looks at this, and she sneezes snot onto this thing. So what this man is, he's like Sisyphus. He's like rolling the rock up the hill. He'll never get it up the hill, and it's always rolling back down. That's what this film is. But the young lady who plays Barona is really great, and she sneezes and loogies all over this lettuce. And finally, another guy comes into the scene. I say, all right, we'll cut. And that was the end of the film. That was the end of the film. She sneezes, snot all, everywhere. That was the end of the film. Well, let me tell you, we got rave reviews. We got rave reviews on the new magazine that had just come out called Guts All Over the Windshield Magazine. And then the other magazine that was really more prestigious, Exposed Brain, which was the one of the newer magazines, okay? They both gave us the big thumbs up rating for Bonaroma. We exhibited in Palm Springs next week. Are we going to Palm Springs still? We've been uninvited. That's so much, excuse my language, that's so much bullshit. No, they did not invite us. Well, if they did, they're going to invite us back. I don't know what you're talking, you know, why would you? No, that's bullshit. My name is Livingston Weiler. I'm a horror filmmaker, and I want to get into the something that is a phenomenon of my filmmaking, and that is you are physically changed, you're physically altered when you see my films. That's right. That's right. Didn't know that, did you? I've got stories. Les Westcott and I went to see, originally we went to see Kitten, and then we also saw Mouse on a double bill, and then we wanted to see Mouse and Kitten on a triple bill with Bonaroma, but we hadn't finished Bonaroma, and then Freedom. And we went, and Bill came out of the theater. I came out of the theater. It was a good film. My favorite film is Kitten, and he had suddenly had buck teeth. Now, this is a guy that's got perfect orthodonture, as we say in the, you can look at the film we just made for Instagram. He has perfect orthodonture. When he came out, his teeth were bucked out a little bit. I'm just kind of, it sounded like this. Now, when he walked in, he was like, hey, this ought to be a really great movie, Livingston. You know, I'm looking forward to it. And I said, well, I hope so. You worked on it. I said, you wrote it. He said, oh, yeah, that's right. But that's how he sounded. Hey, Livingston, hey, this is going to be great. When he came out, he was like, hey, Livingston, what did you think of the movie? I'm doing a very bad impression of him, but he spoke in crisp, clipped tones, almost as if he'd gone into some basic rabbit stage, you know, like rabbit or Easter Bunny stage. He was talking like this, like you went almost as if that's how a rabbit would talk to you. And I remember backing out of the room when we got back to his house. We were going to have a couple of beers, and I kind of backed out of the living room to my car when he started feeling, well, what did you think of the movie, you know? I said, oh, my God. Oh, my God, look at you. And he looked in the mirror. He goes, what, you know, what's it to you? I said, you've got an overbite. You look like Bucky Beaver on steroids. And then he says to me the magic words. He goes, fuck you, you know? And it just like a, and that's, you know, it sounds funny, but I was very offended by that. I was offended by a rabbit, because now you have to take it seriously. Here's a guy that speaking intelligently, but he sounds like a rabbit. He's got overbite, and now he tells me, he says the words, excuse my language, fuck you, or fuck you, and now you got to take him seriously. Now you got to size up the situation. Okay, I got a guy that thinks he's a rabbit, told me, fuck you. He works on the movie. So I just said goodnight to him, and I said, get the hell off my property, and he ran away. It sounds interesting, doesn't it? Because he sounded like he was such a tough guy, and then I said, fuck off and get off my property, and I just saw him scamper away. He got down on all fours. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. This is Livingston Weiler, and our show here is called One Man, One Camera, Three Eyes. And the three eyes represent my two regular eyes plus the camera. And we're talking about filmmaking and my experiences in the business. By the way, today we got a couple of offers. Some of the guys, the crew that are here, we got a couple of offers from producers to film some things, some documentary things. I'll be talking about that with you guys later on. I love documentaries. Love them. But my meat and potatoes, okay, my meat, my potatoes, and the nutritional vegetables, you might say. So I like old sayings, but I go all the way with them. My meat, potatoes, and nutritional vegetables, see? My meat, which is generally steak. What's the best meat you can eat? Steak. What's the best meat you can eat? Well, you know, quote unquote steak. That I admit, I'm straight, by the way, but I'm thinking how my wife would be. If I said that to my wife, she'd go, well, and she sure wouldn't be looking at mine. Never mind, I shouldn't say that. We had problems in our marriage. It's cleared up now. Cleared up. We agreed to disagree. Where am I? Oh, yeah. So, you know, the meat, the potatoes, the crisp, fresh vegetables, and yes, the cappuccino is horror filmmaking. And why? Because I'm good at it. That's why. Because I'm good at it. I'm probably better than, who are the big guys here in the latter part? I mean, you know, the 20th century is Wes Craven, John Carpenter, and Clive Barker. Well, let me tell you, Livingston Wyler is now poised to slip in, just slip past Clive. I'm not saying that we're going to knock one of the guys, the top. We've got Clive Barker, John Carpenter, Wes Craven, and now we have Livingston Wyler. There's four. Now, there were three. I'm not proposing that we knock one of the three off. I'm saying there's now four. So I slip in, get beside Clive Barker and right next to Wes Craven, and John Carpenter is at the other end, and Clive Barker is on my left, and I'm like in the middle there with John Craven. Wes, excuse me, folks, I'm sorry. With Clive Bunker. Clive Bunker is the goddamned Wes Carpenter, Clive Craven, Wes Bunker, Clive Barker, Wes Craven, and John Carpenter. That's it. That's it. And I'll be there, Livingston Wyler, with films such as Kitten, with films such as Mouse, Freedom, with films such as Bonaroma, with films such as Wipe, Tissue, and of course, the one that our triumph of last year. And I got to thank everybody on my crew. Even though I know I didn't take you guys to Hawaii with me, it was the Hawaii Film Festival, our triumph, which was Diaper. Diaper was a horrifying film. I almost regret making it. It horrified me as we made it. I was horrified. I was insulted by me when I made Diaper. You know what I'm saying? In other words, I wrote it. I didn't want anybody to see it. I wrote it and I said, let's just do this. I wrote it in one night and I was so disgusted by it and I was so horrified by it. And I was asked by Tom Llewellyn, who was one of my producers, he said, well, can I write? I said, no, you may not read it. I said, you'll see it. But like, I got to get this thing done and I got to get it out of my life. Just let's get this piece of God, you know, I got everybody together. I said, let's go. Come on. So everyone had the script. And I'm like, well, can we read it? I said, the answer to that for the 15th time is no. Let's just get this piece of horror, this wipe, this excrement on a tissue. Let's just get it made and then flush it in a toilet someplace. So we made Diaper on a shoestring budget. I think we made it for like $10,000. All the actors were paid. They didn't work for free, but they were paid insulting amounts, like $20 for 2 days' work, this kind of thing. I did take a fee because I'm aligned with a studio. So my fee was usual $300,000, but that's not part of the budget. The budget was only $10,000. So we made Diaper. And people would say, well, what's my motive? I said, look, I addressed the actors. I said, listen, don't ask me what your motivation is. Don't ask me anything about your character. I just want to do this movie and get it out of my life. I wrote it. They say, you wrote it. Yes, I wrote it. Yes, I wrote it. Yes, I'm producing it. Let's just do it and get it out of my life. Quit asking me about it. Diaper, as I said, it was our triumph a couple of years ago. I am diapering a baby and it begins to have diarrhea and it vomits at the same time. Now, we used a doll. We used a fake baby. There was a real baby, and then we went to the fake baby, and we just saw the, you saw the puke coming out, and you saw the diarrhea coming out. Now, this was in the film, the baby is farting and belching, and I, even as a director, I had to run back and go, okay, cut. And then I'd run back out and I'd watch the baby, you know, having diarrhea. And in the film, I'm driven mad by it because I realize that I'm encountering that this is not the first time I'm going to be changing this brat's, you know, it's funny how personally you take it, but it won't be the first time I'm changing this brat's diaper. So I changed this baby's diaper. What are you looking at?
I
know who you are. Are you one of the guys from the studio?
I'm the producer. I'm Tony Hale.
Oh, Tony.
I don't understand what...
What?
What's scary about that?
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. They did it again to me? They sent another one of you guys?
Well, we're the money people.
Yes, you're the money people. Yes, you're the money people. I'm glad you know your role.
But I...
You have nothing to say about the films. You have nothing to say about them at all. Were you producing this film?
Yes.
Well, it won an award in Hawaii.
No, it didn't. No one told me it won an award. Why do you think it won an award?
Well, they bought me drinks after the film festival. What do you think that's... Never mind.
They bought you drinks, that's all.
Look, Tony, get out of here before I get angry.
But I can't believe...
Get out of here before I get... All right, so we got done with diaper, where the baby craps and belches, and I said, get this, just take it. And I took the plastic baby, the dummy baby. We had a real baby that just, you know, there were a couple of cute shots of me holding the real baby. That we went to the dummy baby, and all this diarrhea pours out of it, and all this puke. The special effects guys did a great job. Then I grabbed the plastic baby, and I didn't do this on camera. I did this after. After we cut the shot, I took this plastic baby. I was so disgusted with this plastic baby that I went outside, and there were some guys that had electric shears. These were electric shears. They were doing the hedges near the studio, and I just fed this plastic baby into the electric shears until it was nothing but strips of plastic. And I said, I don't ever want to see you again. And I was looking at just nothing but a pile of plastic. And that's when, you know, I was told to go home and you know, get my head together, because they thought I don't know. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. Livingston Wyler. One man, one camera, three eyes. You see, when you're involved in making horror films, you are involved in an extraordinary experience. Whether the object of horror is a baby's diaper, a small kitten, or a little tiny mouse that's crawling along a branch, horror is never too far away. I'm Livingston Wyler. I'm going to be doing a film next year, and I really want to bring this. I want to have a little kind of a film festival with all of you together. It's going to be about a blues musician who is haunted. He's not haunted by a memory. He's not haunted by a face. He's inside of him. There's a ghost living him. So it's a haunted blues guy. So every now and again, he'll be singing, "Well, my baby went down the road," and then, "Motherfucker." You know what I mean? And we have signed, I'm very, very excited to say, we've signed Gubner Hale for the part. He's a terrific actor, and we're writing the music now. But essentially, it's about a haunted... No, he's not possessed. No, he's not possessed. See, everybody thinks he's possessed. No, he's not possessed. He is haunted. He knows. There's a ghost inside of him, living, like, inside his head or something. So he'll say, "Well, my baby went down the road, Ira, you dirty fucking whore." Like that. See? And by the way, he's white. He's not black. Because I wanted a nice, hot, happy blues guy. I wanted almost like a blues guy that has no blues, you know. "Well, my baby went down the road. I saw her across the street. Suck my dick." You know. It's hard to explain. This has been Livingston Wyler. One man, one camera, three eyes. On the Phil Henry Show Radio Network, executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One. I realize it's been a very short show, but Phil was very tired. He didn't sleep last night because what was he doing? He was sitting up and going over stupid tweets. I don't know. "Well, my baby, she went down the road. I saw her," and then, You fucking whore. You know, I am excited about this film. That's, what are we calling it? Blues? I got the blues? I sure do. Livingston Wyler, see you later.